All right, Judges 13, verse 1 to 5, it says, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive a son, or conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, or shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." So here in this passage, the Israelites are in Judges 13. The Israelites are to be in bondage for 40 years. A man named Manoah had a wife who was barren. She couldn't have children. It must have been a great burden to her, having gone so many years, not being able to have a child, yearning, wanting to have a child of her own. An angel came to her one day and announced to her that she was going to have a son. I can imagine the thrill that must have come upon her, that child that she'd hoped for, that child that she'd waited for her whole life and wanted and hurt so much because she didn't have a child. Finally, God was going to give her a child. The angel tells Manoah's wife that this child's going to be special. He tells her that she can't drink any wine or strong drink. She needs to keep away from any forbidden food. And a razor isn't to touch his head. And then he gave a purpose for Samson's life, and it was to deliver Israel from the Philistines. In Jeremiah 1 verse 5, the Bible says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." God knew every one of us before we were formed. God knew Samson before he was formed. Before the angel came to Manoah's wife, God had a special purpose for Samson's life. God knew what that purpose was for Samson's life well before, at the beginning of time, God knew that there was going to be a Samson, and God had a purpose for his life. And tonight, we're going to talk about Samson's great purpose. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for loving us. Father, I thank you for giving us your word to teach us and to let us know that we do have a purpose in our lives. And Father, we know from your word that just as you had a purpose for the life of Samson, you have a purpose for our lives. And Father, I pray that you would open our hearts, that you would open our minds and help us to see that purpose. Help us to understand how you see us. And Father, I ask that you would bless, that you would meet with us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you turn to Judges 13, verse 24, it says, "And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol." So Samson was born. The Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord was upon Samson. God chose Samson specifically. God had a special purpose given to Samson. If you think about the God of the universe, he has so many things to do. He has so many things to keep track of. He has so many things to occupy his time. God's beyond time, but he has so many things to occupy what he does. There are billions of other people in the world, and when God specifically chooses you for a task or a special purpose, realize what an honor it is. And don't throw away that opportunity. Things to notice about Samson's life. First, Samson had a great purpose. Samson was hand-picked by God. Of all the people that were born in that time, God hand-picked Samson to deliver the Israelites. And what was his purpose? First, one of his purposes was to lead Israel. He was to protect the nation against the Philistines. He was to be a spiritual example. He was called to be great for God's glory. He was given the strength that he was given, not for himself, not to show everybody how strong Samson is. He was given that strength for the glory of God, to show how wonderful God is, not how wonderful he was. He was to decide the answers to people's problems as a judge. He was to execute revenge on evildoers. He was to raise a godly family. He had a God-given purpose and a responsibility to yield to that God-given purpose. Second, Samson didn't yield to God. He left himself open to temptation. He began living in sin. He began living for his flesh, and he fell, losing everything that he could have had. He allowed Delilah to take God's will from his life. Turn to Judges 16, verse 7. In Judges 16, verse 7, here we have the seduction of Delilah. And Delilah and Samson were together. And Delilah had a group of Philistines off in another room waiting. She was trying to find out why Samson, what gave Samson his strength? What was this secret? In verse 7 it says, "And Samson said unto her, If they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dry, then shall I be weak as another man." Well, they bound him and it didn't work. He lied. She got upset. Then he said in verse 11, he says, "If they bound me fast with new ropes that were never occupied, then I shall be weak as any other man." And they bound him with ropes, and he was fine. "If thou weavest," verse 13, if thou weavest the seven locks of my head with the web, then I'll be weak. And then she bound his head with a web, and he wasn't weak. Verse 17, and he told her all his heart, and said unto her, "There hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." Finally, Samson gave her the truth. And in verse 20 is one of the saddest verses. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee," after she cut his lock. She said, "The Philistines be upon me, thee." And he woke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. Finally, Samson. Delilah found out what would cause him to be weak. Samson was taken, his eyes were plucked out. And then he was put in chains and he was bound and made to work like an animal. Samson missed God's purpose. He was the only judge to fail his people. He had no idea what he was about to lose. He was supposed to deliver his people. He was supposed to be the strongest man, yet he gave up God's will. And he was the only judge to fail his people. He had no idea what he'd lose. And if he had only followed God's plan, the Lord would have never departed. So how does this apply to us? First, God created you for a purpose. Samson was, his purpose was to lead Israel. His purpose was to protect Israel. His purpose was to be a spiritual example, to show what one man can do with God by obeying, by yielding, by following God's ways and not his own. Samson had a purpose, but the Bible is filled with men who had, and the Bible is filled with men who had purposes. Jonah had a purpose. God gave Jonah a purpose to go to Nineveh and to preach to the Ninevites, and he went, he got swallowed by a whale, but finally gave in to God and said, God, I'll go to Nineveh. And he went to Nineveh and he preached. He didn't like it. He wasn't happy, but he preached. He obeyed the Lord. Paul had a purpose in his life. He killed Christians and killed Christians, putting him in jail. And then suddenly the Lord came and blinded him. He fell to the ground and gave himself to the Lord. And then went off to preach and start churches all over the Mediterranean. Abraham had a purpose. God used Abraham to bring the nation of Israel and to bring his word and to give the nation of Israel the land and to give us a salvation through Abraham that we have today. God had a plan for Samson, but God had a plan for Samson just like these other men before his birth. Turn to Judges 13, verse 5. It says, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Similar to Samson, God has created you for a purpose. Jeremiah 1 verse 5 says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto nations. That's what God said to Jeremiah. And God created each of you in here for a purpose. You know, most young people think, well, I could never do anything for God. I could never serve God. I could never be a pastor's wife. I could never lead somebody to Christ. I could never stand up at my school and read the Bible in front of my friends. Are you kidding me, Brother Keith? I could never do that. I could never dress like a Christian. I could never go to church. Or maybe I'll go to church faithfully, but I could never read my Bible every night. Are you kidding me? What if my friends found out? I could never live for God. I could never do that, Brother Keith. And in a way, you're right. Turn to John 15, verse 5. John 15, verse 5 says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. The truth is, you can't do it on your own. But you can do it. You can do it. We're not to be knocked down. Because with God and His purpose in our lives, we can do anything. Romans 8:39 says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. God's plan for you is only part of His bigger plan for mankind. God's plan for you, like Samson was to seek and to save the nation of Israel, our plan is to seek and save the lost. Our plan is to bring glory to God. That's what our plan is. Second, we need to yield to God. Samson refused to yield to God. Samson wanted to do his own thing. Samson wanted to yield to his flesh rather than yield to God. Romans 6:16 says, know ye not to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? His servants ye are whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or obedience unto righteousness. Who are we yielding to? Know ye not to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? Who are you yielding yourself a servant to obey today? His servants ye are whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Are you yielding yourself to sin, or are you yielding yourself today to obedience? There's no in-between. Romans 8:31 says, "What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" So what's the purpose of my life? I'm glad you asked. Just kidding. All right, it was a bad joke. All right, I got a few giggles. Come on. All right, never mind. All right, good works. We need to yield to God. How do we yield to God? What's the ultimate purpose of our life? Good works. God didn't give you eternal life to live for your flesh. God didn't give you eternal life to live for your friends. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Second, we're to be formed by God. Turn to Jeremiah 18, verse 26. I'm sorry, Jeremiah 18, verse 2. Jeremiah 18, verse 2. God came to Jeremiah and he started telling him to go down to the potter's house. God was using an illustration here. In verse 2 it says, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, where I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel." We're formed by God. Just like a potter, when he sits with his spinning wheel and he grabs that lump of clay and he puts his fingers into it, and as it spins around, he forms it up, and he makes curves, and he designs something, and it spins around, he puts his fingers in, and he pushes in the sides, and he squeezes it, and he pinches it, and he forms it, and he molds it, and he contorts it, and if it all gets messed up, he puts it all back together again and starts spinning it again and making something new. God wants to do that with your life. And when you're facing pressures, and when you're facing things at school, and when you're facing things at home, and when you're facing your friends, and when you're facing persecution, and when you're facing the devil, and you're facing alcohol and drugs and everything you face in your lives, and that pressure comes, God, and you say, "God, take this pressure from me." God says, "I'm using that to mold you. I'm using that pressure." When you yield to me during that pressure, when you yield to the Word of God, and you don't yield to the world, when you yield to the Word of God, God is forming the character in your life. God is forming you. God is making you stronger, because one day you're going to need that strength. And that what you think is so hard right now, when you overcome it, when you get through that difficult time, and you allow God, you say, "God, I'm the clay, you are the potter, I yield myself to you." When you finally say that to God, it may be a little bit of a pinch, it may be a little bit of a hurt right now, but in the long run, God's going to make you into something great. God wants to mold us to become useful to Him. So we're to be formed by God. The other purpose in our lives, we're to praise and bring praise to God. Samson's strength brought praise to God, but he used it to bring praise to himself. He used it to try to get all the Philistine ladies to say, "Ooh, he's handsome." Our talents. God didn't give us our talents to use for the world. Some of you in here can sing, but you don't sing for God. You'll get the world's music. You'll sit and you'll stand in your shower. I know you do, because I do the same. No, I don't listen to the world's music. I'm kidding. No, I don't. But I'll stand in my shower and sing. I know just about everyone in here sings in the shower. Come on, raise your hand. I used to have fun when we lived in Dublin. Living in a semi-detached house. Our bathroom was with the neighbors. And one day I was in there and I could hear their daughter singing out. I don't know what she was singing, but she was singing out loud. The talents God gives you. God gives you those talents not to use for the world, not to use for yourself, not to use for your friends, but to use for God, for the glory of God. Turn to Psalm 100. That's a good one. Psalm 100 says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing." What are we singing before the Lord's presence? He's everywhere all the time. "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves." You didn't make yourself. So many people, "Oh, he's a self-made man." No, he isn't. No, he isn't. If somebody has a talent, it's a God-given talent. God gives us a free will to use it for him or to use it for the world. Any unsaved person, just because they're unsaved doesn't mean, and they have a talent, doesn't mean that talent was meant, that talent that they were given, it wasn't meant to serve the world. That talent that was given them was meant to serve God. "He hath made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into the gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever, and his truth endureth to all generations." We're designed to know God. We are designed to love God. We are designed to enjoy God forever and to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. You say, "But Brother Keith, I'm a nonconformist." No, you're not. You're not a nonconformist. I realized for years and years, all my teenage years, the whole time, I thought the whole time that I was rebelling against the world. I thought I was rebelling against society. I thought I was rebelling against the morals that I thought were wrong. And when I got saved, I found out and I realized through the Word of God that not one time was I rebelling against the world, because the whole world is rebelling against God. And what I thought was rebelling against the world was really rebelling against the Word of God. The problem was I didn't know the Word of God, and I didn't realize who it was I was rebelling against. You're going to conform to something. You're going to conform to God, or you're going to conform to your rock music star, or you're going to conform to some skinny, contorted model that isn't even real. You're going to conform to what they wear. You're going to conform to what the world does. You're going to conform to what you see in the films. You're going to conform to the hypocrisy. You're going to conform to the fornication. You're going to conform to the adultery, and you're going to conform to the drunkenness and the wickedness out in the world. If you don't conform to the image of God. God doesn't need strong, smart people. God needs people who are yielded to him. Turn to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 26, it says, I'm going through puberty again, I'm sorry. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, or in base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, in the things which are not, to bring to naught the things which are, that no flesh should glorify in his presence. But of him ye are in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glory, let him glory in the Lord. God just needs somebody that's yielded. God can use anyone. Say, oh, Brother Keith, I'm too sinful. You don't know what I'm listening to. I hear Brother Dan preach against all this stuff, and I'm wrapped up in it. Take a step away. One step at a time. God can use anyone. God can use a fisherman. God can use a carpenter. God can use a young boy with five loaves and two small fishes. God can use anybody. Next, just like Samson, you can miss God's purpose for your life. For Samson, one decision to disobey God, it took him farther than he ever wanted to go. Before that day, he displayed a pattern of disobedience. He became accustomed to that disobedience. He became used to it. It became a part of his life. It became part of his every decision. He became used to living in his flesh and living in his sin, and he got so accustomed to it. You know, the more you watch those things, the more you listen to it, the more you listen about fornication, the more you listen about drugs, the more you listen about all the things in the world, the more you listen to it, the more accustomed you're going to become to it, and the more likely you're going to do it. The more you listen to your friends, the more you listen to all the rubbish, the stuff you see on television and the films, the more you listen to it, the more you're going to be accustomed to it. And the pattern that Samson had led to his utter destruction. Are we creating a pattern of disobedience in our lives? Are you creating a pattern of disobedience? Is disobedience becoming a part of your being? A part of every decision you make? Well, my mom and dad said it, I'm not doing it. Well, Pastor Craig said it, I'm going to go right over. I'm going to leave camp and I'm going to go do it myself. He's not going to tell me what to do. It's not Pastor Craig. It's not Brother Dan. We're just preaching the Word of God. If we didn't yield ourselves to the Word of God, we would be just like the world too. God has a great purpose for each of you. God has a wonderful life for you. I think Brother Dan beat me to it, but this past week, Amy Winehouse. Man. I've never heard her music. But normally people don't get famous and popular if they can't sing. But I saw news articles and different things and people saying what a wonderful singer she was, but she just had so many drug problems. You know, God gave her that talent. God gave her that ability. That was a God-given talent that she used for sin, for flesh, and the devil, and it took her life. She missed the purpose for which God created her to be. And if you start following down her road, and you start listening to her music, and you start doing the stuff that she was doing, and you start doing the drugs, and you start doing the alcohol, and you start with the fornication, and dressing like her, and acting like her, and doing everything she does, and not just her, but every other singer just like her, or any other man, you start living like her, you're going to go down the exact same road she did. Don't miss God's purpose for your life. God has a wonderful young lady for you, girl, boys. Sorry. God has a wonderful young man for you, girls. You don't have to. We sing the song about Esther. When we sing that, do you listen to the lyrics? You don't have to dress like Amy Winehouse for a boy to like you. If you're dressing like Amy Winehouse for a boy to like you, you're not going to get the right kind of boy, because the right kind of boy, the guy that's going to treat you good, isn't going to look for a girl that dresses that way. I guarantee it. Because it's not dressing sexy the right kind of guy doesn't look for a girl that dresses that way. I don't care what the world says. They are liars. They're lying. They're trying to sell you. They're trying to make you. They're trying to turn you into an Amy Winehouse. And when you believe that stuff and you believe that rubbish that they sell you, I don't care if the boys are looking at you more because you're wearing something tighter. It doesn't matter if you're wearing something tighter. You're making them think the wrong thoughts. They're looking at you because they're thinking the wrong thoughts. That's why they're looking at you. You don't want that. You don't want that kind of guy. You don't want that kind of thinking. You don't want men thinking about you that way. You ought to dress nice and conservatively and decently. The right kind of guy looks for a lady that holds the attributes like Esther. A lady that loves God. A lady that does right. A lady a man can trust in. And doesn't have to worry about her running off with his friends. Doesn't have to worry about her that if he married her, she'd be out, you know, running around. You know, I asked Grant. I didn't ask Gina for permission, but I asked Grant. take Graham and Gina, for instance. They're not perfect. I'm sure they have their arguments. I'm sure they have troubles here and there. All new married couples do. But you know, had Gina not yielded to God's purpose in her life, she wouldn't be here. And she would have never found Graham. She would have never led him to Christ. She wouldn't have the life she has right now. If Graham, when he got saved, and I watched it, he came to church. I remember when he came to church, and I thought, I don't know if he's getting saved just because he likes her. I don't know about this. I don't know about this guy. But he got involved. He sold out for God. He started going out soul winning. And I saw him grow. I saw him go into the discipleship. And I said, man, this guy is different. This is a good guy. God has led Gina to a good guy. Why? Because she was acting the part. She was obeying the Bible. You say, well, Brother Keith, if I don't get married by the time I'm 19, I'm going to be an old lady. No, you won't. You don't have to get married right away. God's going to bring somebody to you if you're the right kind of girl. And boys, if you're the right kind of guy, you don't want a wife that's going to run around. Don't you be doing it. Don't you be following after the girls that are wearing things you know they shouldn't be wearing. Following after the girls that are wearing things that cause you to lust. Get away from those girls. You shouldn't be around a girl. You shouldn't be sneaking in the dark out here and with a bunch of girls out in the dark together. You shouldn't be doing that. That is a recipe for disaster. And you're not going to find the right kind of mate. You're not going to... Gina and Graham didn't find each other at a drunken party playing kissing games. That's not why they found each other. They didn't find each other at a pub. They didn't find each other sneaking around fornicating. That is not where they found each other. It was a girl. I know a girl not very well. A girl that had, she had everything. She still has a good church, but she had a good church. But she left God to drink and to go to parties, and now she's a single mother. It happens a lot. Happens a lot. She's a single mom. She's only in her 20s. No husband. Nobody to help her take care of the child. You know, God doesn't force you into His will. God doesn't move you around like a robot and say, go here and go there and do this and do that. God doesn't make you do anything. God had great aspirations for Samson, but Samson missed his purpose. He was supposed to be the deliverer, but he lost everything. You today have a free will. Your life could mean the salvation of millions, but if you go down Samson's road of self, of not doing God's revealed will, of yielding to others' requests and expectations, you're going to one day not realize that God's departed from you, just like Samson. And you'll end up a slave to sin, like Samson did to the Philistines, and that sin is going to take you further than you expected. That sin is going to take you further than you ever wanted to go. You say, well, Brother Keith, I've been in my sin. I've done everything I've done. I know I've heard the preaching, but I've been doing this for a while. It hasn't hurt me. It hasn't hurt me yet. My friends do it. No, that's just God's grace. God's waiting. God is patient. God is full of grace. But that day is going to come. God had grace with Amy Winehouse. Look how she spit in God's face. I can do what I want. I can drink. I can do drugs. One day God just said, I'm sorry, Amy, you've ruined too many lives. Sin's going to bind you. Sin is going to pluck your eyes out and drag you away as a slave. And you will never be or have what you could have had. You have an opportunity to have something like this. My wife wouldn't have married. I would have never gone after my wife if she acted like Amy Winehouse. And my wife wouldn't have gone after me if I acted like Amy Winehouse. But you know what I mean. Drugs and everything. But like the Philistines, when the Lord departs from you, the devil's not going to have any mercy. God's plans are always perfect. Our plans aren't perfect. Our free will and our own choices are going to cause us to forfeit God's perfect will for our lives. In the Old Testament, Moses, he was supposed to lead the Israelites to the promised land. That was God's purpose for his life. But one simple thing, God told him to speak to a rock, and instead he lost his temper and hit it. One decision, and it changed the course. When the Israelites finally got to the promised land, Moses went and died. God wouldn't allow them to go in. And just like Samson had no idea, but if he had just followed God's plan for his life, he might have been the greatest judge to ever live. He had the strength to kill all the Philistines. He had the strength to eradicate the Philistines and get the nation of Israel their land and get them out of bondage with the Philistines, saving thousands from the Philistines. He didn't have anybody to look to, but today we can look at his life, an example, as a warning to us that we need to stay in the will of God. First, realize that God's created you for a purpose. Second, we need to yield to that purpose that God has for us. Third, if we don't yield to the purpose, we could miss God's purpose for our lives. I don't want that for anyone. We don't come to these camps to waste our time. We come to these camps. We work in these camps. We pay money to come to these camps. Why? Because I have nothing better to do. I could be home with my wife. But I love each of you kids. And I want you to have what they have. I want you to have what I have. I want you to have what Brother Dan has and Brother Kevin and Miss Eileen and Brother Eric and Pastor Craig and Brother John. I want you to have what we have. That's why we're here, because we want you to have what we have. We found something special in the Lord. We found safety in the Lord. We found God's perfect will for our lives. And it's the perfect will for everybody's life. God created all of us. And God created us to serve Him. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, I thank You for loving us, God. I thank You, Lord, for giving us such a sweet purpose in our lives to serve You. And Lord, Lord, I don't know what everyone's facing in here. I know there's some people facing trouble at home. Maybe parents fighting all the time, divorce. I know the world is not easy to live in. Facing friends who don't understand salvation. They don't understand God. They know nothing what it is to be a Christian. And God, I sympathize with these teens and the pressures and these young people and the things that they're going to face and the things that they do face. But Father, I beg You that You would help them. Help them to see the purpose in their lives and to yield to that purpose so that You can give them something great. So that You can give them, Father, the peace and the comfort and the tranquility that comes with being in Your will. And God, as they yield to Your will, Father, I pray that You would bless them for it so that they can see quickly that You're there with them to protect them and to be with them. And Father, please bless these young people. In Jesus' name we pray.